Our passage of scripture as we continue through the Psalms is Psalm 103. Psalm 103. A Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is a psalm of David. This is an alphabetical psalm. It is arranged according to the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters and there's 22 verses in this psalm. In this psalm, David is personal. He says, bless the Lord, my soul. In this psalm, David is passionate. He says, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Third, he is perfectionistic. He says, remember all His benefits. And fourth, he's feeling perfectly pardoned, who forgives all your iniquities. From A to Z, we may bless He, the Lord. He had different letters. Aleph, Beta, Gimel, Zalef. He had the Hebrew alphabet. And yet it's an alphabetical psalm that David is first calling upon himself to worship, to praise God, to bless the Lord. And this is the first point. Stir yourself up to active, energetic, wholehearted worship and service of God. This is the Psalm of David. And with all his various psalms, we might crown David the king of praise and worship. This psalm probably written after his sin with Bathsheba and maybe even after his sin of counting the people is my personal favorite. In this psalm, David starts where we should all start, speaking to his own soul, encouraging it to bless the Lord, as he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. we all need to call on our souls, our inner being, to bless the Lord, because it's not something that comes naturally to us. What comes naturally to us as sinners is to seek ourselves, or even to seek for our families or even other people. But blessing the Lord tends to be last. We think He doesn't need our blessing, and He doesn't. But it's for our good that we bless Him. We need to add, and all that is within me. Because when we do praise the Lord, we're too often half-hearted about it. This morning we talked about the Ephesians, who had almost a perfect church, and yet they lacked one thing. They did not love the Lord like they once did. And they should have been some that would have heeded this psalm and stirred up themselves to bless the Lord. David repeats this personal command to himself in verse 2, this time adding arguments for blessing the Lord. We are not to forget His many benefits. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Just like he did in verse 1, he's repeating it. He's calling on his soul again to bless the Lord. And he says, "And forget not all His benefits." One of the things that we sinfully do is we forget everything that the Lord has done for us. It's one of the reasons He's given us the Lord's Supper, that we might remember His death on our behalf, how He suffered and died, that we might be forgiven, that we might have blessings from God rather than curses. And so here we see David, even before Christ came, blessing the Lord and saying, "Forget not all His benefits." And here he gives us a list of those benefits. A, benefit number one, forgiveness. "Who forgives all your iniquities," Psalm 103. Psalm 103:3a. So in Psalm 112, David said, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults." He knew he had errors and faults and things that he didn't even know about, but God would know about them. And he says, "Who forgives all your iniquities." In another place, he says, "Forgive my iniquity," or "forgive my sins, because they are great." Not because they're small, but they are great. "Forgive my iniquities." And he says, "Who forgives?" Who is the Lord? He's the one who forgives all our iniquities. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But that blood definitely does wash away all our sins. Benefit number two, healing. "Who heals all your diseases," Psalm 103:3b. And if you're sick right now, and you're praying, and you're wondering, when is God going to heal me of this or that? Well, eventually all our diseases will be healed when we get to heaven. And any healing we have here, as much as doctors may help and medicines may help, ultimately it's up to the Lord. And it's the Lord's doing when we're healed. Benefit three, redemption from destruction. "Who redeems your life from destruction?" Psalm 103:4. David had to be seeing his own life that way when he committed the sin with Bathsheba and he was going the wrong way, murdering Uriah. He was on the way to destruction, just like his predecessor Saul before him. And yet in Psalm 32, he says, "Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered." And David was that person. His life was redeemed from his own self-destructive ways. And then benefit number 4D, "Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Remember that while we are applying this to ourselves, this was King David, who was literally crowned King of Israel. God chose him out of all the people, he who was a shepherd boy, to be king. And he crowned him. He gave him that great privilege of being crowned. And yet we also are crowned if we are true believers. In Revelation 1, which we went over a couple weeks ago in the morning, it says, To him, verse 5, to him who loved us and washed us from his sin, from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings, that means he crowned us, and priests to his God and the Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And now when it says he crowned him with tender mercies, he's talking more than just a crown, but he's talking about the loving kindness and tender mercies that are bestowed upon us. Everything we have is ultimately from God. Our friends, our times in church, the blessings, the spiritual blessings we have, our Bibles, our answers to prayer, our families, our healing of any kind of diseases, every kind of thing that we have is ultimately a tender mercy from God. And he crowns us with those things. And while we are crowned with tender mercies, we are crowned that way, though we crowned him with the crown of thorns. Our sins caused Jesus to have that crown of thorns. Matthew 27:29 says, when they twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." That's talking about the Roman soldiers right before he went to the cross. They had no direct interest and no hatred for Jesus like the Jews did, but they still treated him that way. They saw him as weak. They saw him as pitiful. They thought they could take advantage of him, make fun of him. And they did that to him. David had an abundance of things. And was given God's tender mercies, and so are we when we have families and friendships and abundance of things showing God's love towards us. Loving kindness and tender mercies. And for whoever and for everyone, Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And then benefit number 5, good food, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God has blessed us with remarkable taste buds so we can actually taste and enjoy our food. I've heard it said that animals like dogs or cats or something, they don't have as complex taste buds in their tongues as human beings do. They eat whatever they eat, they don't have the enjoyment out of it that we might. But God has blessed us in that way. And so he says, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Some of your cooking is some of the good things I've enjoyed. Erica's cakes or Zenora's noodles and a lot of things like that. Really yummy, yummy things. And this is part of the reason God gives us food, is that we might enjoy it. And then also it is nutritious. Our youth is, he says, renewed by it, meaning we gain energy and health from it. And then number 6, benefit number 6, righteousness and justice. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Psalm 103, verse 6. Here, David was king, and he was the one, the earthly one who was supposed to be doing these things, keeping the law and keeping justice in Israel. And he knew that he did not do that alone, but the Lord was with him, and he did it that way. Second main point, though, the reasons for blessing the Lord and stirring yourself up to this grace task are beyond personal reasons. These were all personal reasons that David had, and we might have as well, but they are also historical, they are also heavenly, they are also worldwide in their reach. He goes first to the Jews. He says, verse 7 of Psalm 103, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. And the New Testament talks about this. Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. And yet he goes to the Gentiles as well. Psalm 49, or Isaiah 49, verse 6, prophesied this. It says, and this is God the Father speaking to God the Son. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel, I will give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." And that salvation, that mercy of God, goes all over the earth. It didn't only go to the Jewish people, but it goes, as we will read in Revelation 5, to every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation. So nobody is left out. No group of people is left out. His mercy, under point 2a, His mercy abounds. David would have understood some of this. He writes about this, hinting at the worldwide spread of the gospel. Because David, who was David's grandmother? It was Ruth, who was a Moabitess. And so David was part Gentile, even though he was from the tribe of Judah. He was also part Gentile. And Romans 5:20 says, "But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." His mercy abounds. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. And David would have understood. He was long before Romans 5:20. But Romans 5:20 says, "But where sin abounded," and it did abound in David's life. He was an exceedingly sinful man when you think about some of the things that he did. He had great privileges, and yet he had great sins, and yet grace abounded to him. God was very merciful to him. His anger with us is temporary. It says in Psalm 103:9, "He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever." Sometimes God is angry with us, and for good reason, and He brings our wrath, His wrath on us, or His discipline upon us, and we go through hard things because of that, and yet it's always temporary. And if we are truly His children, His sheep, one day we'll be in heaven, and every pain that we've gone through on this earth will seem like nothing. Like a dream when you wake up in the morning. "Oh, what was that? I don't remember." "I had this very wonderful dream," or "this terrible nightmare," but it's gone. And it's not that important, is it? When it's gone, it's gone. And that's what I think our life will be like when we get to heaven. All the anger and all the pain that God might bring on us because of our sins will be gone, washed away. His punishment for our sins or of our sins is always less than what we deserve. Verse 10 says, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." And again, David could say that for himself. He had sinned dreadfully. He deserved to be in hell for the things he did. And yet he was forgiven. And not only was he forgiven, but he was restored to being king. And he finished his life out as king of Israel. And he even chose his successor when he chose, according to God's choice, when he chose Solomon. His mercy is high and great. He removes our sins far from us. He pities us as a father might, as he understands our dusty, weak nature. It says in verse 11 through verse 14, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him." That is a very high thing when you think of it. That's His mercy. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." How far is the east and the west? Well, you can keep going and going and going. The east and the west never meet. And that's how far He removes our sin, our transgressions. "As a father pities his children." And if you're, there's no father here except for me, but mothers pity their children too. "But as a father pities the children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust." He knows what we're made out of. He knows we will fall and fail. Micah 7:19 says, "He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." That was one of Corrie ten Boom's favorite passages. And she used to say, God buries our sin in the depths of the sea and then puts up a sign that reads, no fishing. They're gone. You don't dig them back up. And God lets them be. This rock group, when I was a kid, before I was a Christian, there was a group called Kansas. And they sang a song called Dust in the Wind. And it went something, I don't remember the whole song, but one of the famous lines of the chorus is, dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind. And when they said that, at the time they were atheists, and it's partially true, we are made out of dust, but we are dust that has been given the breath of life, and God has made us alive. We're alive dust. And it's interesting, you know, just like I became a believer, I believe some of the members of that Kansas rock band became believers too. And then they started singing Christian music and everybody stopped listening to them. But they were known as atheists because of that one song and they became believers. And God can do that. He can change us. He can make us who were dust into living beings. And He forgives us because He knows that we're dust. Third main point, in order to stir yourself to praise, remember the great gulf between you and all humanity with you and the glory of our Lord. We tend to praise man, sometimes with excited praise for insignificant things like hitting a ball or throwing a ball through a hoop. And the women of David's days praised him for 10,000s while they credited Saul for thousands. And that was kills of Philistines. And yet I imagine David would have liked it if they would have given Saul the credit. Or better yet, they should have given God the credit. Praise the Lord for the things that David did and Saul did. And here we see the limits of man. He is temporary. He's short-lived, to say the least. Inability to do good on earth. Psalm 103:15-16 says, as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And in its place remembers it no more. This fits with the picture I had on the bulletin this morning. It's flowers, but it's flowers that are wilting. And we will, you know, this morning it was meant to go with this morning's sermon. When we lack love, we're like those flowers that are wilting. We're not as beautiful. We're not the same as we were. But it also goes with tonight's, because we are like the grass or like the flower of the field. And our lives are very temporary. And the place that we are remembers it no more. Some people are remembered for a while. But eventually, they're really not remembered totally. This is in contrast to the Lord, whose mercy is everlasting. Verse 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. David was king of Israel, but he knew that his Lord was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as I said, I'm pretty sure this was a psalm that David wrote later in life. And maybe he already saw himself, if he wrote it after he numbered the people. This had to be very late in his life. Obviously, I think it's beyond Psalm 32, where he's just starting to say, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. And probably beyond Psalm 51, where he's crying for forgiveness. And yet here he sees the Lord in heaven. And where God's throne is, in heaven, is high above us. It's vast in size. You know, the heaven and heaven of heavens, as Solomon said, cannot contain thee. It's gloriously beautiful, and it's out of any enemy's reach. That's where God's kingdom has its throne, in heaven, where no enemy can defeat Him. and He will reign forever and ever. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer and when we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, we know we're praying prayers that will be answered for sure. His kingdom will come and it will be eternal. Number four, knowing his own limitations, David calls upon the heavenly host to join him in God's praise. Verse 20 through 22, he says, Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, his ministers of his, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He concludes going back to calling his own soul to praise. But before he does that, he calls the heavenly hosts, the angels, every creature on heaven and in earth. He says, all the hosts, everything, all his works, bless him. And this is because he wanted God to be blessed. He knew God deserved to be blessed. When he blesses the Lord, when we bless the Lord, we don't give him anything like he gives us when he blesses us. But he still desires and deserves our praise and blessing. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage, Psalm 103, where David calls upon his own soul to bless you. And Father, we pray that we might do the same thing, that we might call upon you and call upon our own souls to bless you, to praise you, to honor you. And Father, there are many reasons, we see them in this psalm, that you deserve this blessing and praise. And Father, we pray that we might take these things to heart and we might apply them in our lives, that we might live lives that are to your glory and praise. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.